Welcome back into Danny and Dusty. I am live at Autzen Stadium right now, looking out over the valley, and a beautiful day down here in Eugene, Oregon. And we are joined with Danny back in the studio up in Portland. We are joined now by a man who usually gets to set the scene, but I get to take it over for today. Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks. How you doing?
I feel a little uncomfortable sitting this close to you.
So I'm going to widen out just a little bit here.
I mean, is that the real reason why you send me all the way down to the sidelines for these games?
Well, just saying, yeah, kind of. We voted on it.
Don't feel bad, Jerry. I literally sit on the other side of an enormous table up here. So, trust me. I get it.
All right. Well, here we are. It's finally game week for the Oregon Ducks. This offseason, it was short because there was a Fiesta Bowl, but it's also seemed like it's taken forever because of the hype and the excitement surrounding this team. Can you remember a time where there has been this much excitement heading into a season?
You know, maybe Marcus Mariota's last year when we knew that Oregon had a pretty good team and a chance to get to the national championship game. He was the guy that could get you there, and we could sort of sense that. I think Dennis Dixon hit the year that we lost Dennis. We knew midway through the season, not preseason going into it, but once that season started, we realized here's a guy that has a great chance to win the Heisman if we could win the national title. So there were those times when you felt that excitement, but not – maybe not as early as we are this year with the change to the Big Ten and all that's, you know, the nation's talking about Oregon and the Big Ten and Ohio State and the Big Ten and the Ducks and the Big Ten. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jerry, one of the things that I've kind of wondered sitting from the outside looking in, you've been there for a long time. You've seen the different iterations of this program. And for me, my criticism of Oregon has always been that they just didn't have the horses in the trenches to be on this the level of saying that we are a national title competitor. That feels like, and it looks like, it has changed over the last couple of years, and they can put those horses on the front of the cart now and go, no, we're here with everybody else. What has that transition been like, kind of watching that ascension of, hey, we can do it every couple of years, to, no, we're here year after year after year now?
Well, we knew. Jorgie and I talked about, you know, the pieces that were missing, or maybe not pieces that were missing, but the depth that did not allow Oregon to continue through a season when they would start well and then suffer some injuries, and then you didn't have those backups, that depth. But I remember playing Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, and I can't remember what year it was, but we matched up pretty well. Linebackers were about the same size, both sides. But Ohio State's linebackers were not only big, they were faster than all get out. We couldn't compete with that. So there were areas or levels, as you say, that Oregon wasn't quite at year after year. And we've seen it develop now. I think Mario Cristobal really should get credit for bringing in some bigger, stronger, faster guys and really got Oregon up to a different level. And now Dan Lanning has really topped that. And so now you're seeing across the board starters that can compete at that level with some of the bigger schools. We're talking about Alabama, Ohio State, putting guys in the NFL on the trenches. Oregon's doing that now. And so, yeah, it's changed. And we can see when we weren't there, and we've seen them slowly gain ground and get to a point where we believe they are there now.
With hype, do you get a little, at times, do you get a little cautious, like too many people are talking about the Ducks?
Yeah, I do. I find myself doing that. I mean, I got to dial myself back because you watch practice and you talk to the coaches and you read the headlines and you listen to ESPN. It's like, yeah, that's us. That's what we're going to do, you know? And it's, wait a minute. Okay, because I'll find myself starting to talk like that with people, with fans. Yeah. And it's like, and now I've learned to say, that all said, everything I just said, and now you got to prove it, okay? Haven't proved a thing yet. Got to prove it.
Jerry, there's a ton of transfers into Oregon this year with two very prominent names in Evan and Dylan. Outside of those guys, who has just kind of popped onto the scene through practices, through camps, that you've been like, oh, this looks a little different?
Well, it's almost a little difficult to answer that question. One, I'm not supposed to talk about what I see in practice. Yeah.
I think they got a sniper.
A gag order.
Up there, right?
Yeah. But the real reason is it used to be that you would see a kid coming in like Jonathan Stewart or Royce Freeman or somebody like that, and they just stood out. Mm. You just knew this guy's different, and they would run through people, around people, and past people. And now you're not seeing that guy. I mean, sure, there are a couple of guys that stand out, but the reason you aren't seeing that one or two guys that are running circles around people and are standouts is because there are more standouts. Mm. So you've got not too long past, you had like maybe a 5-star, maybe a 4-star, maybe a couple of 4-stars and 3-stars. Now you've got 4s and 5-stars in, and so you don't have the guys that separate themselves and make you go, oh, wow. You're seeing that more as a team or a group of guys rather than one or two individuals.
And I think that kind of goes to, like, it has to be a very specific skill set that makes that guy pop now, and that's the credit to the roster building that you're talking about. Because I remember last year the buzz around Tez Johnson was, this guy's just different.
Yeah.
And then we saw it took him a while to kind of ramp up and get up to speed with the offense and terminology and such. But by the end of the year, we were watching Tez Johnson, and that twitchiness, that speed, it's completely different than anybody on the field.
And those guys like Tez and Evan Stewart, same thing. They make the guys who are around them so much better because they're competing with guys that are a level above them or were expected to be a level above them, and they're competing with them, and it makes them better. So you're not seeing – I mean, Tez Johnson, I think, is a tremendous leader of the wideout groups because guys want to be like him. So they compete with him. They're trying to be better than him, which has made them better than they were, which is maybe kind of odd or hard to understand. But I'm impressed with Oregon's wide receiver group, running back group. I mean, when you start breaking down groups, there's a guy here and there that stand out. But I think the thing that's going to carry this team this year, Dusty, is that it's not just one or two or three stars or just a couple of guys here and there. I think it's the team in general that have raised their level of athleticism and quality.
Jerry, I want to keep you around here because I want to ask some questions. We were talking about those guys with the twitchiness and the guys that just stand out. And I want to get your thoughts on, you've seen a lot of University of Oregon football. Who have been the most explosive players, your favorite players to watch here at the University of Oregon? And we'll get that from Jerry as he joins us from Autzen Stadium on Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan. Danny and Dusty split show. We're going to be doing these Wednesdays as I'm down in Eugene for Ducks practices every Wednesday morning and bringing you Danny and Dusty in the afternoons. And we decided to bring on Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks. You've seen a lot of Oregon football, Jerry, and a lot of explosive players. Who are some of the guys that stick out to you as the game breakers that were just so much fun to call because you never knew when the game was going to turn on its head?
You know, I'm going to say one of the first guys, and you're going to say, he wasn't a game breaker. I mean, but he was, and that's Bill Musgrave.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Bill Musgrave wasn't one of those powerful runners. He didn't have the greatest speed in the world. He didn't have the greatest arm in the world. Bill Musgrave had a knack of knowing where everybody was at the right time and getting them the ball. He wouldn't get a fight in there like John Elway. He was just going to get them the ball. And then that very first game, go back to Colorado when they upset Colorado in Boulder, it was the beginning of something special. It's where we are, I think, in 2024. I think he started, but he was one of those guys. I'll toss some names out. Jeremiah Johnson, I saw him at practice the other day. JJ had, to my mind, still the best straight arm as a running back I've ever seen.
He came in right when Twitter had started, and almost instantly, Jeremiah's stiff arm became a Twitter account of its own that took on a life of its own.
It was a thing of beauty. It really was.
Just punishing.
Oh, yeah. Eric Castle. Played in the secondary along with, Ashland High School.
Chad Cota.
Chad Cota. Those guys laid the lumber. I mean, fun watching them come up and hit somebody and and you know knock the ball loose or do something like that. I think what we were just talking about, Royce Freeman, Jonathan Stewart is one of the first guys that I remember when fall camp started. He came in as a freshman, and we looked at him, and his legs were bigger than my body, and we kind of looked at him and went, holy cow, why didn't he go straight to the NFL? Yeah. And that's the way he played too. He was a specimen. I think. Watching Joey Harrington, Keenan Howry, it's tough to go down a list and leave somebody out. But those are the names that pop out. Another one is Haloti Ngata.
Oh,
yeah. Haloti Ngata was the anchor that every team in America wishes they had every year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a double-team guy. He was going to have to be double-teamed, which made the whole defense better. So,
he was so big that they would double team him, and he still wouldn't move an inch.
Oh no, yeah, he was a rock
anchor in the middle, and then he got to the NFL, and it was like, well,
the same thing.
It's not just a Pac-10 problem; it's a problem of humans trying to move Haloti Ngata.
Yeah, and he was so soft-spoken that you could sit this close to him and not hear what he was saying because he was so humbled and very, very soft voice. Now there were so many of them, guys. I mean, it's hard to stop talking about the list.
Jerry, in that same vein, you know, unfortunately, it's the end of the Pac-12, but it's the beginning of the Big Ten for Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. There's going to be that kind of line to draw where those four teams have some shared history that they can bring with them. But when you're going into that conference, what are the things that you're kind of hoping to experience or to see, or what are the things that you're looking forward to as you know you move into a new conference covering this team?
Well, one of the things I'm looking forward to, it may seem odd, but I want to see USC, UCLA, and Washington continue to have success, along with Oregon, to be able to put it in the Big Ten and have the rest of the nation finally say, holy cow, they play football on the West Coast. I think those four teams being in the Big Ten, if they can be successful on a regular basis, I think will open a lot more eyes across the nation. I'm looking forward to that. And then, obviously, the venues, the history, the tradition, rich Big Ten. I mean, going back to Ohio State again, back to Michigan, been to Illinois, going to Penn State. I mean, these are venues and teams that have watched for years and years and thought were the hotbed of college football, even though we're the West Coast Pac-12, that was more college football.
What place are you most looking forward to go this year? Because you got the Rose Bowl to start it off. You talk about venues. The Rose Bowl to start it off.
Yeah.
Then West Lafayette, Indiana, Purdue with the big drum that they bring out, the Big House in Michigan, and then Madison, Wisconsin. And also Research Stadium, but that's a familiar place. Actually, you haven't been there since the new stadium opened.
No, looking forward to it.
Okay, so those are the five right there.
Easy answer for me, because we've been there, and their fans are much like Oregon fans. It's one of the toughest places to play, and that's Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, when they get jump going, that place vibrates.
Yeah.
And it's a great college atmosphere. And so, I love Camp Randall is special.
Hey, they don't – do any of these places throw things at sideline reporters? Because Texas Tech was not my favorite place to go and get water bottles and tortillas thrown at me for 3.5 hours.
Well, have you done a game down at Arizona State recently?
No.
Okay.
No. Last year was the one – after Texas Tech, I was like, that Arizona State, I can't do it this year.
Oh, Lance is just tortillas. Water bottles are a little dangerous, though. I'll get tortillas, I can eat a tortilla.
I can send some cheese to some folks in Wisconsin and have them throw that at
you. There
you
go. Okay.
Great. Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Late in the year, we'll probably have some snowballs somewhere because it's going to be cold.
That's right. Mid-November, November 16th in Madison, Wisconsin.
Man.
God, I'm not built for the cold
either. Frozen tundra.
You going to be on that sideline wearing one of those puffers? Is that what we're going to get from you?
I'm going to look like the Michelin man on the sideline down there. Are you kidding me?
Go find George Costanza's jacket.
Yeah, I'm going to look like the little brother from Christmas Story.
Doing
out there.
The star waddle?
Yeah. They're going to roll me out to the sidelines and I'm just going to prop me up. I might wear the duck costume. I don't know.
That would keep you warm.
It would.
You have two pair of long underwear and a puffer coat and it'll be a 75-degree day.
Exactly. Historically speaking, we've gone through go to the Big Ten. That's going to be an awesome change, and it'll be very welcome. It's been pretty crazy to think of how much more publicity Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA have gotten just by this move, yeah. right? Everybody yeah. wanted to say the East Coast bias wasn't real. I think one thing that we have found quite clear is that it's real because
yes.
you go yeah. to the go to that conference and it's like, all right, now they're playing big boy football. Are you going to have your eye on any of the other former Pac-12 teams that you're going to be keeping tabs on?
Yeah, I mean, I'll kind of watch Cal, you know, with yeah. Wilcox there and some of the guys that you know, played for Oregon and coached at Oregon.
ACC football.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. That is mind-boggling to go from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast, come back and play, and then go back. No, it's just it doesn't make a lot of sense. That's got to change in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Cal, I'll be interested in watching Cal. I'm kind of curious to see really what happens with Oregon State and Washington State.
Yep.
I just thought that was so wrong that they did not end up in a Power 5 conference somewhere. They deserve to be. And so for the next couple of years, I want to watch what they do and how that all plays out. I hope that they are successful and get where they need to be and where they should be. Other than that, I don't care about anybody else.
Perfect.
Know? Yeah, I don't. It'd be fun to watch Arizona and Arizona State, but we don't have to play them. Glad we don't have to go to Utah anymore.
Yeah, see, and that was the one. I have grown such an appreciation for Utah in their time in the Pac-12.
I respect them very much.
Yeah, and Kyle Whittingham seems like a guy who is a great guy who kind of does it the
yeah.
right way.
Yeah,
and his program is it is such a – it's amazing to see. They went from the Mountain West to the Pac-12 and didn't flinch, didn't blink. Yeah. They were ready for the challenge.
I hated playing there because their fans were great.
Yep.
And that was a tough, tough game. And yeah. I'm glad we don't have to play them anymore. You know, okay, maybe they'll make it in the 12-team playoff, and we'll make it in the 12-team playoff. That would be great.
That'd
I
be
hope
awesome.
That happens. Okay, I hope that several pre-Pac-12 teams, as well as several of the Big Ten teams, end up all in the 12-team playoff, and it would be like the Pac-10 over again. Pac-12 over again.
Do you think that that's what would get the Pac-12 finally some credit? Is it's finally gone and it's like, all right, so you got the Big 12 champ in Utah. You have a Big
yeah.
10 team in Oregon. You can get another bid from, you know, the ACC. I don't know if that's going to be happening with Cal or Stanford this year, but you could get one feasibly.
No, I mean, I think Oregon, USC, I think Utah, certainly. I don't know. Arizona has got a
yeah.
chance.
Yeah, Arizona does.
Got a chance. So even Arizona State, yeah, it could happen. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be.
It'd be awesome. All right.
You ready for this game yet? I mean.
We got Idaho this week. What do you know about the Vandals yet?
Vandals, pretty good ball club. I mean, they lost most of their offense, but most of their defense comes back. They're a good program. It's like, I'm going to say this about everybody Oregon plays this year. Be aware of your opponent, but be more aware and concerned about your own team.
Yeah.
No, don't beat yourself. So if you could let Idaho beat you, or you can play your game and make them have to try to beat you, and that's going to be a tough thing to do. But Idaho's. I love playing Idaho. I love playing Portland State. I love playing those teams that come to Oregon.
And that was, I mean, this is the hard part for these FCS schools because Idaho is kind of the poster child for it. Coach Eck down there did an insanely good job of building up a program to be a quarterfinal team in the FCS yeah. playoffs a year ago.
Very quickly.
And then the transfer portal opens up, and their quarterback goes, and now he's starting at Oregon State, and Javonte McCoy, their running back, who's a 1,000-yard rusher, he hits the portal. He's going to be playing a lot of snaps for the University of Utah. And you go, we're back at square one again and putting in all of that work to build up to that point. It's kind of weird as I've been looking at Idaho and doing the prep. It's like a lot of the guys that should be back and making that one more run that we've become accustomed yeah. to, they've taken off and they go to another place. And it's a credit to the staff of Idaho and also those guys for saying, I can go to the Power yeah. 5, but it takes away from the FCS experience a little bit.
Well, I think, and you got to be aware that the reason they were good enough to go and make that step up on the portal is because he brought them in.
Yep.
You know, he developed. So I think he's a great recruiter. I think he's a great developer of talent. So I expect the guys that he did bring in off the portal and the guys who were freshmen or sophomores last year are going to be improved. So I think he is still going to have a team that was – I'm going to say just as good as they were last year.
Yeah. In the pride of Lake Oswego, Jack Lane.
How about that?
Playing quarterback for the Vandals. Playing,
he's going to play in Autzen Stadium.
Jerry, thank you so much for the time, man. I appreciate it. We're going to have to do this more Wednesdays when I'm coming down here.
I'm always here. I'd be happy to do it. And
you live here, right?
Thrill. Yeah, I live here. Sleeping bag right over in the corner over there. Yeah, I got the bathroom down the hall. There's no food up here. That's the only problem.
Stale popcorn.
No food, and unfortunately, you're parked closer to Dusty.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep, well, thank you, Jerry.